Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. And on the radio to BBS, if you're listening to BBS, thank you so much for participating. We have a bunch of people on the call so far, including Willow, Dwayne, Ron, Tony, Quinn, Marilyn, Teresa, Michael, Stephanie, Marilyn, Don, Laurie. And here is BBS Radio and myself. I'm Gijs. Thank you so much for being here. We have interesting discussions going on. We have still a few minutes to go. So where are we at?
Somebody joined, and I heard them say their name, but it got crowded out.
All right. Well, and somebody else came in just now as well. Welcome to the newcomers. If you want to, please say your name and location.
David in Tennessee.
Hey, David. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Don from Drexel. And Drexel. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Don. Good evening. How are you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Michael Waterbury, New York.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Thank you. Bye.
All right. And Tony, are you still there?
Yes.
You may be interested in talking to Michael regarding your issues.
What does Michael do?
Heels. Over the...
Next call. Good luck to the call. You know what? I'll give you a call, Tony. Michael, is it okay if you give Tony your phone number?
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you. Had more people join in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
John from Aspen, Colorado.
Good evening, John, and good evening, Joel. Welcome to the call, you folks.
Thank you.
Quinn, I want to thank you.
Hi, Joel. Hi, Don. John, I'm sorry.
And who is this?
I'll have what she's having.
Who's that? Hey, Willow.
John, where are you calling from?
Well, from Chicago. Aspen, Colorado.
All right. Thank you, folks. Anybody else join in?
Evening, Will.
Your name and location.
This is Will from Chicago.
Hi, Will. Oh. Welcome to the call.
Will, how are you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
I thought it was Joel. Will, Joel. You guys know each other? Thank you so much for being here, Will.
Yeah. Pleasure.
Hi, Lucy. Lucy, I miss you. Photo.
Great, hi. I muted Dwayne.
Okay, good. PBS, by the way. I welcome all those.
Hello.
Good evening, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. Good evening.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hey, Wynn.
Good evening. Hey,
hi.
Yappa hey, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. How are you?
Hi, Michael.
Have you had somebody else come in? Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan.
Good evening, Nancy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much. Hope everybody's well.
I believe so. Please say your name and location.
Hi there. This is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, ooh. Terry. And
hey,
Terry. How are you doing, Terry?
Hi. Oh, I'm doing okay.
All right.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, we had somebody else.
I don't know if it would match up numerologically, but if you were to change your last name from Free to W-I-N, you would be a win-win situation.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. I'll check with our sources and see what they think.
W-I-N is already his middle name, so he's win-win free.
And I released it. In here just in the last minute. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Susan in Delaware.
Hello, Susan. Good evening to you. How are you?
Good evening. Pretty good.
All right.
Glad you're all there.
Okay, I have to go now. Take the lady to the meeting. So everybody, wish us well.
Willow,
good luck.
Think
good luck. Good luck, Willow.
Well, it's going to be all right.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Love you, Willow.
Bye.
Thank you, Willow.
guys. We had some really interesting discussions going on tonight on different topics. It was really cool. It was like a round the table conversation. Thank you all.
Again. What's the biggest topic of conversation, Heinz?
Well, the mainly medical about alternative remedies. Willo, Dwayne, and Tony, Quinn, Marilyn, Teresa, they all pitched in. Because Tony was here, he was mainly having questions about it, and it was just very interesting to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. It's a good thing Terry wasn't there.
I would have brought up Dr. Marshall, huh?
I did look into Dr. Marshall. I didn't see anything useful.
Well, it depends upon what you want.
It seems like his ability is to pick certain maladies and be very good and precise about knowing what works for that. Okay.
And for preventative, to keep the body in top shape.
Yeah. I mean, we've had people that have gone to him and have had great results. Are there other people? There probably are. And, you know, that's somebody Terry has known for years and years. And that's all.
Is he a holistic doctor?
He's
actually officially a nutritionist. Okay.
Ooh. Right, and he is
holistic. He works with doctors.
Okay.
So, Terry,
on coast to coast.
Terry,
Dr. Christian Wild is also sounds very knowledgeable.
Oh, you know what? I heard about him. Somebody sent me something. I can't remember.
He's pretty rich.
Somebody else join in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cindy in Peoria.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Hi, Cindy.
How are you doing, Wynn?
I don't answer that question.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot. I'm a little slow.
If he would answer it, then he wouldn't be doing so well. So I guess.
I know.
Wynn, what did you say? What did you want?
I'm doing fine.
Okay.
My biggest issue is learning how to feel comfortable taking responsibility.
There is no responsibility. Just.
And there's our other phone ringing.
That's
ringtone.
Sounds like an ice cream truck to me.
It does.
Like a lot of ice cream. All right.
Hey, Wynn, did you get that picture with that little monkey hugging that dove?
The monkey hugging the dove?
Yeah, it's a...
I think so, yes. You know what? My mind gets fuzzy, okay? Every day, you don't know how many people tell me, hey, check this out on YouTube, or this guy is saying the same thing on viewers. So I look at pictures, I do, and it kind of goes what in one eye and out the other. But it's 6:07.
Well, you
never heard that before, did you?
No.
All right. I am going to mute everybody. Okay. And we're going to start the recording.
Muted. This conference is being recorded.
This is June 19th, 2013. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And all of you who are on the call, on the internet, everywhere. And I guess, we had this whole thing, well, how are you doing, Wynn? Hi, Aaron. I see Aaron on there. This was this was, this period was announced for many, many years now. And it was described to be like a roller coaster ride. And I would say what that means is the challenge that we all have is learning to flow. Learning to flow with what's in front of us. Because when you flow, you move through it. And when you don't flow, you freeze. You get stuck.
Right.
You get scared. Are you back, Terry?
Yeah, I'm back. It's like, I'm reminded of...
Were you agreeing with me?
I was agreeing with you. You know, it's like something goes wrong and I freeze. Oh, my God. What do we do now?
Right. And, you know, one of the things is that things always go wrong. This is 3D. And sometimes things always go right because this is 3D. And, you know, I have this theory that bipolar, you know what bipolar is? People that have big mood swings. I think that people that are bipolar, let me just see here. I'm going to unmute. Let's see if any of you answer to this.
Unmuted.
Do any of you think you're bipolar?
No, I had a boyfriend
who's
bipolar, and I'm not. No.
You're good, okay.
No, I'm stuck in the middle.
Okay.
Muted.
I'm stuck in the middle with you. Well, bipolar is kind of like when you go up and you go down, you go up and you go down, you get angry and you're loving. And I think bipolar people are actually at a high point of attempting to work off their karma because they're in duality and they swing back and forth really fast. And people that are in other places, their swings are lower, slower. Like maybe you have a really good life, and then you have a really difficult life. And then you have an angry life, and you have a loving life. Gary asked the question about that thing, so we're going to ask that question. But I do know that when you let things come up, and when you let things surface, and that you let them yourself experience them, and they pass through you, over time, that creates a new you. Because the part of you that is the observer, that's watching it all happen, is beyond duality. And there, you're now watching the duality dance, and you are building the part of you that's outside of duality. Terry, I think is that you in the microphone?
Breathing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. I'll start 6 myself.
Okay. And, you know, another thing that I find myself in the middle of in doing this work is there's things that you guys ask questions about that I don't want to answer. This is particularly not in a channeling. And some of you may have been on the line when we did this call quite some time ago. We were talking about crop circles, and there was a picture of an alien on the crop circle. And when we did that call, whoever those aliens were, our sources, Terry said they were watching us. And then we had to disconnect the call quickly. So when people are channeling, and we ask questions about certain things, then we actually, we're dealing with a universe matrix, and we're expanded.
And when we ask certain kinds of questions, we can bring in certain kinds of negative energies on these calls. And that's not a good thing to do. On the other hand, there's this aspect of wanting to understand things so that you can have discernment. And that is a good thing to do. And I try to allude to those things without going into too much detail. But usually they're really controversial. And people then on one side of the agenda get mad at me because I was expressing something on the other side of the agenda. And then I guess that's okay if people get mad at me because I have to be true to myself. And the same token, there's a certain unfairness about me just saying something without going into the detail about it and explaining why I came to that conclusion or why I say that. Well, one thing I do know this for sure, is that it is possible for channelings to become compromised. And when we do these channelings live, it's very hard to retract something when once it happens. And this is part of the responsibility that I have to assume. And I'm imperfect, so I could very well make a mistake. But I have to do the best that I can and apply everything I know to keep the sources at the highest level, or else we'll lose it, and then it wouldn't be worth doing anymore if we lost it. So I just hope you can all understand. Sometimes I will try to answer a question when I think it shouldn't go into the matrix. But even that is not completely impervious because, as you all know, especially when I send it calls, we bring in the matrix on this call, whether there's channeling or not. There's an energy on it, a universe energy. And in that energy are our sources. And they I've connected with many of you. Many of you have felt the connection and have had really positive kinds of things to report as a result. Let me see if there's any last-minute questions that came in. The other thing is about this, and this is where I think the responsibility level comes in, is in doing these calls and being the guy who's facilitating them, and Terry being the person bringing through the messages, we have to keep a certain, how would I say it? I hate to use the word cleanliness, a certain rigor of personal discipline. Because, for example, and I don't do this anyway, but let's just suppose I'm going to go down to the bar and have a couple drinks, and then, I got to come in and do a call right now. It doesn't work. It's kind of like I'm holding the space in my consciousness all week, even when I'm doing other things. And it's the only way I can hit the ground running. And sometimes, even doing that, I don't hit the ground running. But nonetheless, when I don't, you guys help because you're holding the space and you're learning how to do it, and it helps us hold the space. Carla calls that tuning, tuning into the energies. And it's really not linear. It's something you can't explain in words. If some of you are listening on the call today for the first time. We have this is a very unusual phenomena or that we're doing here, because we are showing up, and there's this idea that every human has an energy field attached to it. And the energy field, your body is obviously very rigid. It's one place, doesn't, you know, it moves around, but, you know, you can't change your body at a moment's notice. But your energy field changes in a flash. And energy fields can combine, they can expand, they can go in other dimensions, they can connect with energies in other dimensions, both negative and positive. And they can connect with these forces that we talk to. And in a way that you can learn to feel their presence. It's like if you walk into a room and it has a bunch of good friends in it, you can feel the presence of those good friends. And for many of you are having the experience of coming onto these calls, and there's this experience of good friend energy on the call, but yet everything is invisible. We're invisible to each other. We can't see each other. We can't see these group souls. And so you have to reverse engineer it, just as I had to say, hey, I think this is real. You can't make that as a snap decision. You have to keep checking it out and checking it out and use your own intuitions and discernment to decide it's real and it's helping you and it's beneficial, or that it's not. And that, you know, go somewhere else to find what you need. So we have some questions tonight. And all of our calls are different. Our Wednesday call is where people submit questions. And I ask questions live on the call to our sources. And occasionally I will answer a question. And occasionally we'll both answer it. And there's a lot of stuff that I have studied, covered, asked questions about, cross-referenced with the record material and a few other sources. And so I have a fairly big scope of understanding. Usually, if I answer something, I'm pretty sure I'm correct. And if I have doubt about it, then I'll say that. I know one of the things that has come up is, I'll say this again tonight, I think this is very important. This idea of flying saucers coming to save us is not what I am getting. I am getting that negative beings can channel through people, and they can appear positive, and they can appear like they're coming around to do something, and they can have an agenda. One part of the agenda is that there's something in the future that's going to save us, and that keeps us off guard because we think we don't have to worry because something in the future is going to save us. And if something in the future was going to save us, and I really believe that, I don't think I need to do these calls. I just tell everybody, wait till this happens. Wait till Jesus comes back. Wait till the flying saucers land. I'm just going to enjoy myself. The problem is, I don't think it's going to work that way. What I get is that it is the group consciousness of this planet and the group consciousness of you that is creating the future. And we are creating the future in the now, not in the future. Not waiting for the future. So, if no one's creating the future from a high place, we're not going to have a high future. We're going to have a low future. And that's not going to be a very fun future to be in. And people are going to be saying, what happened to this? And where did they go? And it just didn't happen. And in a worser case scenario, and this has definitely been written about as a possibility, and not in our sources, but other people, is that humanity will be driven to a point of desperation, to the point that flying saucers will land that actually are negative, service to self, but they will be introduced as positive, and that people will capitulate to them, voluntarily surrendering their consciousness, believing those people are going to save our planet. So, just beware. Pay attention, okay? And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe somebody's going to land and save our planet. And I actually hope I'm wrong. But watch a while before you get on the ship. Make sure, you know, you get some kind of confirmation that it is not negative. On that note, let us get right into the questions for tonight. 6:24, so we've got a good amount of time. Let me see. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And while we're in this group energy that we are creating, I'd just like to ask that everyone on this line, everyone listening to this, can put their own issues into this energy and attract the synchronicities, the events in their life, so that they can prosper, feel connected, feel healed, be healed, and that we'll take this energy right at this moment and surround our planet. And we bless planet Earth. We bless it with this energy. And see it descending, coming close, reaching those people that are reaching, looking for something, that they might feel this space and feel a connection. On that note, do we have some introductory remarks from Terry?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is coming through Terry. And today is the 19th of June 2013, and we take a moment to orient. And we reach out, and to each and every person on the line, we offer connection based upon whether you wish connection or not. And we are free will agencies, so we only connect where the intention is for us to connect. And it is our joy, and we are honored to be with each and every one of you this evening. And we take a moment and we orient to planet Earth. Do you have questions?
Yes. Chris in Pacifica, California asks about the sun and drinking water and bathing and sun gazing. There are certain people that believe that there are benefits to drinking water that's charged from the sun and sunbathing and sun gazing. Could you comment on this?
Thank you. The sun is a source, a very big source of energy in everyone's life, whether they realize it or not. And they are charged, their matrix is charged by the presence of the sun rays. The body makes certain vitamins from the rays of the sun intersecting the oils upon the skin. The pineal gland in the head is charged by the sun rays. And a number of people have been able to cut the amount of food that they eat by, in the early morning sun, absorbing this charge. It is, if someone was sun gazing, beneficial to do it at the first sun rays in the morning. As when the sun gets higher in the sky, it can overload the sensory perceptions. It can cause the sunburn. It can cause the burning of the retina. Therefore, it is at the first sun rays that it is good to soak in the sun. At the close of day, then one can also bring in sunshine to recharge their matrix. The sun is very important to the life of the human beings. The sun rays in midday or even later in the morning are too potent to be in for a long time, and they do not have the same amount of charge for the body, as they can overload the systems and cause burning of the retina and burning of the skin. Thank you.
How about the idea of drinking water that's been outside in the sun?
Yes, this is also a good idea. We would suggest that you protect the purity of the water from insects and from dust in the air. The water can be charged by leaving it in the sun. And this can add to the viability of the water.
Thank you. I have a question. This is for me. Do people, we understand, I say when they ask this question, it's actually, we understand that there are people that have attachments that can block them. And they have a wide span of different kinds of attachments. Everything from soul fragments to negative ETs that end up in their matrix. And usually, when people have this, they don't know it's there. It feels like it's them. Is there an advantage for someone to become aware that they have this? And how can they develop that awareness if there's an advantage?
There is an advantage to knowing that they are there, and they do seem like they are a part of the individual, part of the individual's mind, so that mind chatter may be created by these attachments, and the individual may not feel in control of their own mind, and they sit and try to clear their mind and bring their mind to stillness. However, it is not them that is creating the chatter. It is entities in their field or bringing in frequencies and broadcast beams from outside of themselves. When one learns to particularly just be themselves and learns to recognize that some of the thought patterns are not really theirs, particularly if they don't agree with them, if they're fighting a thought pattern, it can be coming from different sources. One of them can be from other entities that are either within one space or coming from without outside of one space into one space. Or it can be from disagreement, the person has had actions the person has done in the past, and it may not be from another entity. It can be of an orientation the person has had in the past bleeding through into the current orientation. But even then, that can be made more present by other entities in agreement with that framework.
When these entities come into a person's space, do they come and go, or do they tend to stay and even travel between lifetimes?
They tend to stay and travel between lifetimes and can even end up being the matter that makes up one's, the makeup of one's mind that sort of thinks for them. It can be a group of entities that have taken on that function of thought, of calculations, of figuring out the answers to problems. One can observe, and through observation one can learn much about their own proclivities and what is their makeup. How did they get to have certain thought processes, and just exactly where are those thought processes coming from? And not to worry about any of it, just to observe. And the observation can bring one through to the other side. For at the heart of it all, they are a very good being. that in some cases are dealing with a great deal and are doing very well in handling everything. It is a matter of working through, observing what is there, and then owning what is theirs and letting go of what is not theirs. When an attachment who has had a thought pattern that is not one's own lives, they take that thought pattern with them. Some entities come and go. So if the entity would go, then one may feel relief from that thought pattern. Sometimes entities are invited to stay around by the individual because the individual wants the companionship or the energy that is given by the other entities. It is different in different cases, and observation and patience can lend much to one's progress.
Thank you. And one final question on this. It seems like there are certain environments where people can have more of a propensity to pick up these kinds of entities. I've heard that if you drink, if you do drugs, and even if you have a sexual encounter with someone that's carrying entities, that entities can transfer from one person to another. Or if you're drinking and you let go of control of your consciousness, that there's a potential for that to occur. Can you comment on this?
Yes, because the more control the individual has over his own space, over his own thought processes, the less space there is for others to come in and take up the slack or to move in when the person is, so to say, on vacation, is blacked out, is exploring other realms and has left the body, then it is a potential in this. The individual has the intention that he will not be invaded, but if he has simply let go of responsibility for his space and his body, then other entities may find it a fertile ground to move in and to begin to inhabit the body.
Thank you. Next question is from Melina in Venice. Why is the transition to our waking state in the morning so difficult for some?
It depends upon the individual. Some individuals wake up very early and bound out of bed and look forward to the day. Other individuals have a very good time at the dream state and feel that they are gaining much growth and much joy out of living in the dream state, and they may not wish to wake up. Another reason it may be hard for someone to get up is if they are using sleep state to avoid confrontational problems that are very hard to deal with in their life, economic problems, problems with a spouse, problems with a child, problems with a son or daughter who is moving into a difficult relationship and the individual in his dream state feels very good, but then in the waking has these things to deal with, to confront, to figure out what to do with, and sometimes this is very hard, and they would just rather sleep it through.
Thank you. Next question is from Gary Rowley, and he says he has read that before we incarnate to learn more about ourselves, our souls and other souls agree to play certain roles in our life, to have certain relationships, challenges, such as diseases, blindness, poverty, disabilities, and probably he didn't say this, but also great success in the world. And all, of course, still subject to free will. Some people, this is me saying this, some people talk about your high self creating certain experiences so you have certain lessons to balance out things in other lifetimes. Would our sources comment on this process?
Just a moment. In the balancing out of karma from other lifetimes, sometimes it is not known what the karma is. One needs to look at clues within their own life to be able to see what they did. Give us the...
Excuse me, let me just...
When
okay, let's get back into space.
Yes.
What are the choices that are made pre-incarnately that cause a person to have certain experiences in their life?
Thank you. When a person is to come into a new lifetime, they have a choice. And the choice is not like sitting down and drawing up a plan on a paper. The choice is like living lightning. It is the stuff of which creation is made. And the individual may have a desire, a lifetime that he may wish to create. And the specifics are not there, but in general, what they would wish to have in their lifetime is there. And the vibrations of this vibrationally hook them up with the other people that can bring this into their life and can help them fulfill what it is that they have in mind for that lifetime. Also, the other people involved have similar things that they are trying to achieve in their lifetime, and so it is a match where the individuals get together before the lifetime and they make an agreement. It isn't like a very slowly writing stuff down into an agreement. It is more like living lightning, like I love this area of life and the other person is... I love that this area of life, and they're merging. They agree that this is something where they can both come together and fill each other's needs and can co-create upon something. So vibrationally, the individuals find the people that they need to be with to be able to bring through in their lifetime, what it is that their path is in that lifetime and what it is that their goals, what their goals are for that lifetime. There may be threats that move from lifetime to lifetime between individuals, so that within a lifetime, one may meet someone from another lifetime, where in that past lifetime they have had, say, a disagreement, and when they come together, they do not remember they had a disagreement, but they remember sort of subconsciously that this is a very important thing to connect with this person, as if there's some kind of an answer or some kind of a key in the connection. And they can connect, not formally, they connect give us a moment. The phones are ringing again. They can connect with that individual in a strong, passionate connection. And it doesn't have to be a love relationship. It can be like just something about that person that they need to work through. And people with similar geometries of similar things they need to work through can then subconsciously recognize that about the other person and can then connect with the idea of working that past disagreement through or that past experience through, and maybe coming out this time with a different outcome, or maybe a continuation of the disagreement. We hope that sheds some light on it.
Thank you. We have a question from Marilyn, and you know what? Marilyn, I'm gonna, if you don't mind, submit your question next week. I didn't write, this is a very personal thing about your experience, and we should know the city you're in, at least, before we ask this question. And I didn't write this down. And I'll go to Don Herman's question. And what time do we have? We have about 4 minutes here. Let's try the second question. He asked about gravity. Does gravity have a spiritual aspect? Is there anything that we should know about gravity that can help us?
Thank you. That question makes us smile. Yes, there is something about gravity of a spiritual nature, and that is when there is a manifestation and there's a second manifestation, there's attraction between the two of them. A person standing on the earth, there's an attraction based upon the spiritual way that the orientation of the earth and the person's desire to connect and to feel matter, energy, space, and time, to be part of things. There is this attraction between two bodies that are in manifestation. It is as if one is recognizing the other, that they are of the same spiritual nature, and feeling in contact with each other. And that is an aspect of gravity.
How about two people? Two people. We know the Earth is a big body, and big bodies have lots of gravity. But how about small bodies, like two people, or a person in a tree? Do all bodies have gravitational forces impacting them in a way that's real?
They do, yes, they do. Of course, two people, it isn't of a strength like two magnets that will pull them together. It is a weak connection that brings them body to body, even though there's distance between, brings them into juxtaposition with each other in they feel an attraction towards each other in general. Now, this may have a whole range of experience connected with it. The attraction may be repulsion. It is affected by the person's orientation in their belief system. But mass to mass, simply mass to mass, there is an attraction.
I see. That's what I was going to ask, is that there's obviously a lot of forces at play besides gravity with two people. Like,
yes.
Gravity is a scientific attraction between mass to mass.
Yes.
And is it strong enough in between two people that it causes something significant?
It is so familiar that it is not generally even thought of. However, if you are to take or photos of two people in juxtaposition with each other, you may see the reaching out of the energy from one to the other.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, can we have closing comments and then we'll end the session?
Thank you. You are very treasured to us. We treasure you. We treasure your inquiries and your curiosity and your desire to be part of things and your desire to know more about what you are really a part of. And we love you and we are there for you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here, and thank everybody who's on the line for being here. And we will. I did send out that the Carla Rucker session 5 is ready. You can go get an instant download at CarlaWindCoalition.com. Carla Wind Coalition, and of course, we put in all the preceding sessions. So there's like 15 hours of audios of Carla and I taking the raw material apart. And people have gotten a huge amount out of listening to those sessions and understanding the history of our solar system and Earth. So, Carla Wind Coalition, and the link is in today's email that went out. And on that note, let me go to our meeting. We're going to mute everybody. And
unmuted.
You're unmuted. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful, everybody. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you,
Ben.
Sorry,
thank
I
you, Terry. Have a great
sorry,
week.
Sorry I was late.
Fun. Send you
thank
live.
You, thank you, thank you, Ben.
Don't do it again.
I was probably the latest.
Gotta have fun.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Who was late?
I was. This is
Larry.
Who was ringing the phone? Well, we'll have to prepare for that. Usually our phone never rings, and now it's ringing.
Yeah, we need a separate line. We really need a separate line.
Okay. Well, see,
I'll throw you a line.
Next time.
Catch you later.
Bye.
Nighty-night, everybody.
Night.
Nighty-night. Night.